I know that you do remember this, that the word Bible means book, doesn't it? The book. The holy book. And particularly in relation to this man Jonah, but throughout all the scripture, I think we could also call this the book of grace, couldn't we? Our world is filled with such conflict, and as we've already noted here this morning, we see the spiritual war playing out every day between God and Satan. God is a true and one and only true God. Satan is a true foe, an angel, a spiritual being. And while God is infinite good, Satan is certainly eternal evil. And we pray for the day of Satan's final defeat. Hallelujah, that day's coming. We rejoice in it. Well, the Bible is God's record of His intervening mercy. It's grace. It's a book of grace. Where those aligned had been aligned once with Satan are wooed by God to see their coming destruction that they justly deserved. I mean, that's what I remember God dealing with me, showing me I absolutely deserved God's judgment. The Bible records many different characters in different circumstances, all brought by God's grace to repentance and faith. It's a wonderful record and provides confidence and comfort, both for sinners around the globe, that they might still seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Wonderful encouragement. Seek God. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ still ring out the offer of mercy and grace when He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, this morning I want us to look at the same verses as last week, but I want us to look at these verses here through the lens of grace. I've asked you to turn to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto me into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation of the Lord Yes, I left out a word. Salvation is. Italicized, you see. So it's not there in the Hebrew. Salvation of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Father, thank you for the story of Jonah. Thank you that in many ways it's my story. It's our story. Lord, let us see some truths here and joy and rejoice in your great grace to us. Have mercy and help us, I pray. Bless us and be kind to us. Bless the churches around us that are declaring the gospel of Christ today. Let some poor Jonah see his sin, see her sin. Some child see themselves as a lost child. Let the truth of the gospel come in mighty power today and please save some Jonah. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, this morning, I think we recognize here in verse 17 what God prepared. God had prepared something. And the word prepared there means to, it means to appoint or to, if you were... giving me something that was in multiples to be counted or weighed. You would be weighing out something to me. You'd be counting out something to me. When the scripture here says that the Lord had prepared a great fish, he had appointed, he had weighed out, he had purposed, he had planned, that the fish would swallow. Another word could you could say here is that the great fish had been enrolled. He had been enrolled in God's plan for the fish and for Jonah. That's a great word. It's a great thought. And as we're looking at this now from the idea, from the perspective that God is showing grace, we recognize that God sent the fish not just to swallow Jonah, but to save him. Had he been, that's, I'm just stating the obvious to you. Because you know that when the mariners picked Jonah up, tossed him over the into the sea that's still raging at that point, had the fish not swallowed him, Jonah was in no place to swim to shore. In other words, Jonah was going to drown. He was going to die. And to the mariner's surprise and Jonah's surprise, a fish swallows him. And as we pointed out to you last week, as if you leave off the reading of chapter and verse, and you simply read the 17th verse and immediately go to the next verse, then Jonah prayed, as we pointed out last week, and I think we can see that about the 3 days and three nights have gone by, and finally Jonah is having an epiphany. He's having a moment. He's been inside this fish. He doesn't know for how long until he gets out of it, and he knows 3 days and three nights have gone by. Because there's no way for him to judge night and day in the belly of a fish. And after the 3 days and three nights, or somewhere close to the end of it, all of a sudden, it's dawning on him what God has done, how God has treated him, how God has been kind to him. God had enrolled the fish to save Jonah from certain drowning. And now Jonah, as God had prepared the fish to swallow him up, I think we recognize that God in his mercy has sent along certain events. And I, just for a moment, I want you to step and go back in the period of time when you were an unsaved soul. Now, you may have heard something of the gospel. You may have known about Jesus Christ. You may have celebrated Christmas and Easter with your family, and it was nothing more than a religious observance. Tacked on to a great meal. But then God began to deal with you and allowed you to recognize the darkness that you were in. God somehow had enrolled a Sunday school teacher, your mom, your dad, an aunt, an uncle. God had enrolled someone to give you the gospel. Brother Nick's case, it was his science teacher, biology teacher, chemistry teacher. I was close. Chemistry teacher that took an interest in him. God had enrolled that brother to begin to befriend Nick. Well, I don't know the circumstance of all of how God dealt with you, but he enrolled someone that began to point out to you, you were lost. You were in the belly of a fish. You had no escape. And God began to work in your heart. In Jonah's circumstance, God was dealing with him. God was dealing with him in grace, and it was a grace that God prepared the fish. He preserved him from drowning. He preserved him from death. While at the same time, as you realize from reading this second chapter, he does not know that he's going to be vomited out. As far as Jonah knows, he thought he should have drowned. To his surprise, he's swallowed by a fish. And now time has gone by, time that he can't account for at the moment. But now he's beginning to wake up after this period of time to realize God's judgment against him. And that he, as a rebel, has deserved to die. So, we see what God had prepared. The second thing we see now in this second chapter is what Jonah accepted. As you read, I will not read it a second time, but did you notice, reading through the second chapter of the book of Jonah, that Jonah does not actually make a request? Do you realize there's nothing here that Jonah says, you know, God, get me out of this fish? He doesn't ask that. There is no petition as such for deliverance out of the circumstance that he's in. You need to see that Jonah here fully accepts the judgment that God has put him in. He does not know that God is going to deliver him out of this fish. Now, God has saved him from the drowning, but as far as he knows, he is to die. And the language that he uses here in this second chapter is all about the place of his death. Verse 2, he says, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. And God heard his voice. Now, you're saying, well, yeah, but God heard his voice because he's fully anticipating that God is going to somehow save him out of this. I don't think so. I think at this point, he is beginning to thank God for what God has done for his soul, not what God has done for his body. What is Jonah realizing here? As he goes through this, as he describes his circumstance, for thou hast, verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep. In the midst of the seas and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows, all thy waves passed over me. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet. That's a turning point. It's a turning point when he says in verse 2, I cried. It's a turning point when he says in verse 4, yet. Actually, what Jonah is dealing with in this second chapter is he's rejoicing. This is a psalm that he renders to God. As we've already pointed out to you a couple of weeks ago, he uses a number of different passages from the Psalms and he intertwines all of them together while he's in the belly of the fish, while he is anticipating death in the fish. Everything is telling him that he's going to die in the fish, but he is now thanking God for having spared him from drowning. Verse 3, thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows, all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. God had spared him from drowning. All the billows, all the waves going over him, and that may be in the fish, but that may also be what he experienced before the fish swallowed him up. But he's now in the belly of the fish. And the 3 days and the three nights are about to come to a close. And Jonah is realizing God saved him from drowning, but here is his grave in the belly of a fish. And while in that belly, and while he is being taken to the bottoms of the mountains in the ocean, verse 7 says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. At this point, there is still no petition given. He is, in reality, thanking God. He is accepting the judgment that God has passed on him and that he should die in the fish. But do you also realize that in all of this second chapter, he's accepting that judgment. He is saying, God, you are right. What you have done to me is what I deserved. And he says that in verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now, the lying vanities have already been mentioned once before in this story. Those lying vanities are mentioned when the mariners began to pray to all of their gods. The gods that could not answer. The gods that could not deliver. Jonah is realizing that he isn't any different at all. He also had embraced idolatry and lying vanities. Just as the mariners, with their little talons of gods, praying to those gods, asking for deliverance, Jonah hadn't been any different. But what I'm wanting you to see in this second chapter is that God, in His grace, is letting Jonah come to the realization of all of this so that he might repent. And he's not asking God to deliver him. He is accepting the judgment that God has pronounced on him. And at this point, he does not know that the fish is going to vomit him out. And he has not asked for it. But he is here thanking God for showing him. He could have allowed the sea simply to drown Jonah. And Jonah would have gone into a watery grave, never having repented or acknowledged his sin. But God enrolled the fish to swallow him, to preserve him, and yet at the same time to use those 3 days and three nights to convict him, to convince him, and to bring him to see his own idolatry. You say, well, what was his idolatry? He worshiped Israel. His idol was Israel. He worshiped his national status. Very interesting to read Paul's description of himself there in the book of Philippians, isn't it? A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. He had much to be proud about. And Jonah was proud, and he by no means wanted the Assyrians to escape judgment because something stood out and was more important to Jonah, and that was the preservation of Israel. Israel was Jonah's idol. And God now is bringing Jonah to the end of himself to recognize he had indeed an idol, just as the mariners had an idol. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Reading this has made me step back and look at myself. And I have asked myself through the course of this week, do I have any idols? And let me attach this to the phrase found there in the book of Hebrews that speaks about, and the sin that does so easily beset us. That sin that easily besets me, have I toyed with that idol? Or have I in my own, have I resisted that idol? Fought against that idol? See, everything that is coming together here while Jonah is in the belly of this fish is bringing God back into focus. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered. I remembered the Lord. It becomes the source now of Jonah's repentance, of pleading with God, of looking at what he had placed as an idol and realizing it had destroyed him, but he has not asked to be delivered. He is accepting the judgment that God has brought on him, and while he was spared from drowning, God has given him a window to repent. It has taken 3 days and three nights. All that he has gone through, the ups and the downs, being in the belly of this fish, the seas flooding over him. I'm sure, no doubt, gasping for breath. I don't know how he was spared in this, other than it was a supernatural sparing of God, and God was doing a work in Jonah. But I want you to see all of this was happening as a display of the grace of God. It is the same display that God has done in you. I look back over the God's dealing in my own soul as a child. I see myself, the vanities, the idols that I loved. I see that God in His mercy made me to see as a youngster that I deserved the hell that He has prepared for all of those that reject Him and rebel against Him. And I would have to say to you even now that if God chose to send me, change His mind and send me to the lake of fire, I would have to tell you, I agree, it's what I deserve. I still see in my spirit, I recognize that there have been things that lust of the flesh, of the eyes of the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yes, I see things in my nature. I've looked back over the course of my own Christian walk, and I've seen a number of things and been reminded in my spirit of lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I've seen those idols this week. And again, I've thanked God for not drowning me. But sparing me. And allowing me to remember the Lord. Remember the one who died on Calvary's cross. Remember His blood. Remember His sacrifice. And so you see, Jonah is set to recognize that salvation. No, not the salvation out of the fish's belly. Verse 9, salvation. The grace that God has shown to enable Jonah to recognize his sin and to come to God and plead for forgiveness. Jonah is recognizing the spiritual salvation, the new birth, the granting of repentance that God and God alone can give. Jonah recognized the idolatry of self-will, of wanting to be in charge of his own life. That self-will caused him to depart from the living God, just as it is done with us. And if you and I get out of, begin to think that our plans and our schemes and our ideas, our self-will, our self-interest is what's going to govern our lives, then get ready to get swallowed up by God's fish. Now, I'd have to say that through the course of years, we've seen some Christians that God has dealt with. And I think if we could just come right back to the Bible, we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and God, the Apostle Paul laying out for the church there, that many had come to the Lord's table, not respecting, not discerning the Lord's body. And Paul could write to them, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." He didn't say, "In a few of you sleep." He said, "In many sleep." God had already exercised at the church of Corinth what he had not done for Jonah. He did not do that for Ananias and Sapphira. He killed them. The idolatry of self-will always causes us to depart from the living God, as one brother wrote. Jonah has accepted his judgment of death. We know what we deserve. You remember when the Lord Jesus told the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, how that the publican there in Luke 18:13 says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The Lord doesn't, that's just a parable, you know that. But it speaks about how God deals with the heart of the one who recognizes that he's just a thief, a liar, as publicans were, the tax collectors, those that lived in self-will, self-interest, self-gratification, who had come to the end of himself, as Jesus points out, and cried out for mercy. And so Jonah is thanking God. Jonah chapter 2 is Jonah thanking God for sparing him from drowning, giving him a window of opportunity to repent, and making him to see that he deserved death in the fish. And whether God spared him or not, the salvation that he is rejoicing in is the salvation that God had brought him to remember. To remember God and to see his sin and call it what it is. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And when Jonah repents and thanks God, gives thanks to God for this salvation, for enabling him to confess his sin, to repent of it, and to say in verse 9, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." And he had vowed, apparently, that even in his death in the fish, he would sing praise, he would give thanks, he would honor God. And salvation, this forgiveness, this acknowledgement of my sin, this deliverance from my self-will, from my idolatry. I acknowledge that this salvation has come from God. And when he does that, the fish spews him out, vomits him out, to finish the plan that God had given. So you see, if you can see the connection here of how God dealt in grace with Jonah, you may be able to see, I hope that you can see, the parallels of how God has brought you to the death of self-will. You say, well, it doesn't seem like I've died very much. Yeah, I understand. That's been part of what I've gone through this week as well. Will you come to that place? That it's no longer your plan, your purpose? As God begins to pull back the veil and let you see not only how God brought you to salvation, but how God has purposed to use you in your life. And if you have found yourself under God's judgment, however, whatever means God has used to bring you to the place to surrender, absolutely surrender, and to acknowledge that only God could have brought you out of the blindness, the hardness, the coldness, the indifference, the self-interest. Only God could bring about that salvation. If God can do that for us, that resets the whole focus of your life. And we would say here today, Lord, then however you want to use me, help me not to observe lying vanities. We do not live for this world. We live for the one to come. We don't live for national deliverance of America. We live for the glory of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. So many things can be idols. The idols that catch the eye. The idols that pacify, satisfy the flesh. The idols that somehow make us think of ourselves higher than we ought, as Scripture speaks. You see, this humbled Jonah. This humbled Jonah. And yet we know there's still work that's going to have to be done in Jonah. Lord Jesus, we thank you and acknowledge that you're the only one that can save, and it is a sovereign act of your mercy. If you have granted us repentance, it has come from you and you alone. If we have faith to believe in the Lord Jesus, it has come from you and you alone. Lord, there's not a one of us here, nor anyone that would ever hear this message, that can say that they are absolutely freed from every possible idol. But Lord, do deliver us. And please bring us to the place of repentance. Let us see those things that our flesh and our eyes and our pride want to hold on to. Lord, you're the only one that can really, fully, absolutely save. So deliver us, I pray. Let us see sin for what it is. Let us see the lying vanities of idolatry for what it is. And would you forgive us? And reset our lives for the sole purpose of your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know if you remember number 474. It's not in the other hymnal, I don't believe, so we would not have sung it very often. If you know it, you can sing along with me. If not, just follow along in the words. Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Once I was foolish, and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus hath found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Tears unavailing, no merit had I. Mercy had saved me, or else I must die. Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face. But now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Lord, that's all we can say. Just sinners. Still sinners. Thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood. Please help us to break from every idol and help us to see them for the lying vanities that they are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.